District. Board of Directors, call the order, please. Roll call.
Director DeLara?
Here.
Director Borja?
Here.
Director Perizgil?
Here.
Director Rogers?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Zendel?
Present.
And President Worthen?
Here. I'm sorry. I was trying to turn down my volume, was dinging. So if you will lead the Pledge of Allegiance. Thanks. I was turning down the volume on my computer.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I can have the approval of the agenda.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. We don't need a roll call for that one, right?
Nope.
Okay, public comment. At this time, comments from the audience may be taken on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the district. The board has a policy limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up for discussion and or action. At this time, do we have any public comment? Please feel free to come forward.
Hi, good evening. My name is Eric Lingus. I am from California Partnership. We're working on Health for All campaign, so I come today to you as an ally for health and advocacy, especially to our communities that are most needed in health access in the East Valley, as we know. I'm actually looking for allies in expanding health coverage for Medi-Cal. And so I would come to the Desert Healthcare District to see if there's a possible way for the Desert Healthcare District to write a resolution to help expand medical coverage. And there are currently two bills that are in the manner. 84 and SB 29. However, I just in coinciding to here locally, if the efforts could be continue to be facilitated by the Desert Healthcare Districts to help help acknowledge that the need is great here in the Coachella Valley to expand medical.
Thank you. Do we have any other comment? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to the consent agenda. If we have a motion for the acceptance of the agenda.
Move the consent agenda be accepted as written.
All right, do we have a second?
I second.
All right, so roll call on that one, or just all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So moved, okay. So, Desert Healthcare District CEO report, Chris Christensen.
Okay, just an update for the board that we have is working on a location for the public hearing for the rezoning process that's beginning. That will be, the first meeting will be the April 23rd board meeting, and staff is currently working on a location for that in the East Valley, and that announcement will go out as soon as we have that location pinned down. Just to let the board know that the 5:30 session of the April 23rd meeting will be the public hearing portion for the rezoning.
Okay. Is that it, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to item G, Desert Regional Medical Center CEO report. I was just informed that there was no Desert Regional Medical Center CEO report this evening, as the CEO is away on vacation. And so we're going to move on to item H, Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board of Directors, Vice President Zendel.
Yes, Director Rogers and I attended the March 21st meeting of the Desert Regional Medical Center Governing Board. Several items were discussed. I wanted to briefly talk about them. One of them was the semi-annual compliance report. Tenet as an organization and the hospital specifically has been stressing compliance, and the board has to go through compliance training and also review the results of compliance statistics. They involve things like coding, billing, financial operations, HIPAA, compliance, appropriateness of admissions, and things like that. And we received a report about where there had been either reported violations, which can be reported by an employee, either publicly or anonymously. And when something is reported, it's looked into, and it's either substantiated or partially substantiated or not substantiated. And we discussed those. In addition, we review the board as part of its compliance duties, reviews the external audits that go on, sort of groups such as CMMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, the Office of Inspector General, the Joint Commissions, California Department of Health Care, all of, the, of those inspections that come before the board to review as part of the compliance. They also stressed, importantly, since there are various discussions around the hospital amongst employees, they did discuss that that it's important for them to communicate that there's no retaliation at all for reports of compliance violation. And that's something that the board wants the hospital administration to continually remind employees so that they come forward if they have any issues. The second item that was discussed was physician satisfaction survey. That's done every year, and the results of the 2018 physician satisfaction survey was gone over. What was most significant was a significant improvement in physician satisfaction from 2018 through 2017. And again, the board talked about how physician satisfaction is measured, and we saw the results not only in the different categories, but by departments, and to help look at where areas that we need to pay attention. And in addition, the chief executive officer gave a report, and I just wanted to highlight that once again, the CEO goes over the reports that come in from the California Department of Public Health. There are unannounced visits that happened. There are open cases and closed cases, and the board reviews those. And we were told that of the closed cases that came in the previous month, there were no deficiencies identified. There are a couple other items that were discussed in the governing board that will come up later when we talk about the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee, so I'm going to leave those till then. Carol, did you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it well. Thank you.
Okay. All right, now let's move on to new business. We have several items under new business that are all fairly related in terms of consideration for support of various organizations in the community. This would come, I believe, from our marketing dollars. Or would be considered kind of marketing advertising expense. So do I have any motions for these items?
I'll make a motion to approve so we can discuss it.
Okay.
Are we doing each one individually? I take it they're each voted on individually.
Yeah.
They can be voted on individually, or we can vote on them, I think, all together.
Well,
can we, Jeff? Can we vote them all?
Yeah, you could do it all together. It's up to you.
I would like to discuss them individually because I have various opinions on different ones. One question I have is, could you clarify, though, these would not come from the $500 left this year for each director to use designated funds. Is that correct? That's the purpose of this?
That's independent.
Okay. Okay.
In my opinion, this is more like marketing and advertising dollars for us to be out and being viewed in the public and expanding our role into the community.
Yeah, let me correct it. That to the extent you receive a ticket, it's going to follow our ticket policy, so it will be counted against what you do. You buy tables and distribute the tickets, but it has to be done in accordance with your ticket policy that you adopted. So, yes, it will count against what's left this year.
Actually, I don't think that's right, Jeff. I believe that there are two paths. One path is what we talked about, the ticket policy, was that people would be allowed a certain amount and they could request a ticket to be bought by the district, and they had $500 for the rest of this year and $1,000 for next year. In addition, there was discussion that a request could be brought to the board for the board to buy a table or something as a marketing issue separate from that.
But if individual directors receive tickets from those tables, then you have to follow your ticket policy. So they do count. That's the whole point of having a ticket policy. Okay, you can't have two separate tracks. You can't say, on the one hand, that we're going to buy all these tables and then pass them out to directors and their spouses, and then not go through the disclosure requirements and what you set up as your ticket policy. You can certainly do it.
I don't think that was what the understanding of the board was at the last meeting.
Are we talking about the disclosure reporting for like Form 700, all of that?
We're talking
about... No, because they don't have to report it.
And we're talking about, to the extent that you have a limitation on your, in your policy, on how many tickets that we talked about last month, a director, or how much a director can utilize. You can't have it both ways. You can't say, just because we're buying a table and providing tickets to directors, that doesn't count against your ticket policy that you adopted. Now, if you want to change your ticket policy not to limit directors in how much they can use, and then buy tables and distribute tickets, that's your prerogative, okay? But let's be clear, we need to go back and change the limitation that was placed last month on the amount of tickets that a, you know, or put a monetary threshold on what directors could utilize.
My understanding was that this would be more like an official function, and so therefore it wouldn't be subject to the ticket policy.
Well, the problem is this: we're not being honored by these people. We're buying tables. Okay, this is not a function that is saying, hey, we want to honor, the president and a director or whatever of the healthcare district at these functions. So you have to, you got to do one or the other. I mean, you can certainly do this, but if you're going to do it, you have to follow, if you're going to have a limitation on the amount, then you have to follow the limitation, and this counts against this. This is not separate and apart. And I'm sorry if there was a misunderstanding to that, but let's be very clear tonight that that's the way this works. Okay, because it's the whole point of the ticket policy is you can go to as many functions if you want, but if you put a limitation on the amount in any fiscal year, which was done, then that counts against whatever tables that we purchase that the district
or purchases. Tickets
or tickets on behalf of the directors.
So could we amend the motion to say that the board can purchase tables of 10? And it would not fall under the ticket policy, and we could revise that.
I don't see how you could do it. I mean, if you did, then we're talking a whole. That's basically not following your ticket policy, and then you don't have the exemptions under the ticket policy to allow you to do this.
We'd have to change the ticket policy.
Then you'd have to. It would be gifts. It would be. You'd have to go through the 700 disclosure process. You don't get the exemption. The thing that's the beauty of the ticket policy is that if you follow that, and you don't have a limitation on how many tickets, but it's just simply tickets that are purchased and used by the board members, is that is exempt from the gift provisions. Right. This now would then turn into gifts to elected officials and could potentially disqualify you depending upon the value of those gifts if it was somebody that was an applicant, for example, or a grantee that came before you.
If the board is buying the table, that doesn't disqualify us from voting for the grantee, because we're paying them.
Well, it could. Let's say the ticket value is $500 to go to that well, and you're not, and it's not in accordance with your ticket policy, okay? Then you would have a situation of where it would not be, you got to follow your ticket policy to get the exemption from the gift limitation issues under the FPPC rules.
Oh, wait a minute. May I?
You may.
the limitation of a $500 gift applies to for-profit corporations, not non-for-profit.
No, it's going to apply to anybody. Let's say, for example, under the grant policies, and if somebody comes to you and they're a non-profit and they take you on a lavish trip, and that trip's worth...
No, but if the nonprofit gives the tickets to the district, then the district can distribute them, and it doesn't count as a gift. right?
If you follow your ticket policy.
Okay, so there are different things. See, we're mixing different things here. One is that the nonprofit says, we'd really like the district to come, here are 10 tickets, it gives it to the district, district decides how it's distributed, that does not count as a gift against the individual director.
Yes, it does, because it's for value. You have to understand, the ticket policy, it doesn't distinguish necessarily between whether you're going to see the Charger game or whether you're going to a nonprofit. It's a value of the ticket that's being distributed to the director. If you follow,
it's not given to the director, it's given to the district.
Well, it ultimately ends up in the director's hands. It's given to the district, and then the ticket master or the administrator takes those tickets, and there's a request from a board member who has first dibs, if you will, on those tickets. And that ticket then is distributed to the director. And under the ticket policy, as long as you, you know, it's up to two tickets, and as long as it's disclosed on the 805 form, as we discussed at the last meeting, which is the form that goes on the website, then it doesn't count as a gift. However, if they give you the tickets and you don't go through that process and, as you know, follow your process under your ticket policy, then it is a gift and it has different rules, and so you have to declare it as a gift. Okay, I know this is confusing, but.
If the district purchased the tickets with no limit on the ticket policy amount, then it wouldn't be.
Right.
It would be okay.
Right.
So we'd have to change our policy. We would have to change our policy.
You have to change your policy currently, and that's what the discussion was before. So.
So if we approve these things tonight, but we're already at our limit, so we don't accept one of the tickets, we could do that. It would just count. And it's a fiscal year, so it's just through June, right?
Yes.
So you guys have to decide at this point, we can't change our ticket policy tonight, but we can look at it next month.
Absolutely.
And we
can revise it if we want to.
We can revise it if we want.
The concern I have as I looked at this and I look at my agenda is there's five items here. There's not an invite. There's not a piece of paper. There's nothing associated with what the event is, and other than what's here. I mean,
These were requested by a director.
Well, I got you.
Okay.
But we're buying a table of 10, and as much as I'd like to go to the Well in the Desert Annual Fool's Folly, I'm unavailable that day. The Harvey Milk thing, geez, I'd go to that in a minute. And there's different things. So one, how many directors are going, and if that would be worth knowing, because I can tell you where I wouldn't go and where I would go because of my schedule, not because of anything about the organization. I know absolutely nothing about the organization, although I know what the Well in the Desert is. I used to be on their board. Volunteer in Medicine, we big supporters, amazing organization. I'm not exactly sure what the Desert Health Wellness Awards, I think I was awarded once, but I'm not sure who owns it. The Harvey Milk thing's obvious, and the Rotary Club is obvious, and whatever, but it's kind of I think we ought to just take our $500 and spend it, and if we increase it to 5,000 or whatever's legal, you got to do that in some action, and I don't know what the limit is, but we did the 500. But there isn't a tremendous amount of information here, and I'd be curious as these come up, go, like, how many are you going to go? And I hope y'all go.
I'm not going. I've already hit my limit, so I hit my limit before you did the vote.
What staff does do is we send out the email with, you know, the information regarding any of these events. We send out to the directors. They'll have either the flyer in it or.
And looking at this, for example, the first item is $1,000 for the table of 10. So that's $100 per ticket.
But it may not all be directors. It could be staff.
Well, whatever's left over then, the ticket administrator is responsible for distributing those, okay?
And staff
so you
and
could,
partners.
You could theoretically, if you took two tickets, that counts as $200, okay, against your and then the second one is $50, so I can't imagine, okay, that's $50. So now we're up to $250. The third one, let's say another, you know, 200 just to round it up. So now you're, you know, so you could arguably go to all of these things, but you would basically use up what's left in this fiscal year if you attended all those events.
The total amount here is about $3,500 or something for this month, if I rough math.
Yeah.
So my personal opinion is that we need to have a marketing and branding campaign to get the word out about the district. And these events are great opportunities to touch large numbers of people who are influencers and who go to other events in the community. So I personally would like to see us have a marketing plan and a budget for these events, and then not have a limit in the ticket policy as long as it's on that list. And then maybe we can put a discretionary amount for other things that are not on that list in the ticket policy. That would be my preference, since I don't think we're supposed to be talking about the policy or not tonight. Well, anyway, we need to talk about it more. But I'd like to see a marketing plan so that we know which events we should be going to, why, to Mark's point, what's the benefit, how many people attend, what's the exposure.
I also think it needs to be strategic.
Yeah.
And I'll use a couple examples. Are we going to go to every Rotary Club fundraiser in the Coachella Valley? I think that strategically that's probably not a good idea. But, you know, that's one. The Desert Health Wellness Awards, that is a for-profit newspaper that is doing a fundraiser for the newspaper, for-profit newspaper. I don't think we make grants to for-profits.
I don't think Desert Health is a
for-profit. It is. It's a .com.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
It's a for-profit.
It's a for-profit.
I don't know. But yeah. Dr. Grimm is being honored.
And Eisenhower was honored, and we were honored 1 year. But the point is, I think we have to be strategic. And I do agree we should have a budget amount. And I think there should be some that's discretionary for the directors when they want to go someplace. And there should be ones where the CEO says, you know what, we really need a presence at this. And I want to take 2 board members and I want to take some staff to the mayor's and tribal things so that we're there. And to me, that's a different sort of kettle of fish than going to a nonprofit.
Well, and the current policy has that. I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Oh, no, go ahead. It's not.
I'm just saying the current policy allows the flexibility for the directors to make that choice as to what they think is the appropriate event to go to. And the district will purchase a ticket if necessary, and can, if the board wants, purchase a hotel table, and then the directors that want to go can go to that. The point is simply that it counts against, because there is a limitation on how much annually a director can utilize, it counts against
but
that.
But we set the limitation.
Yes, you set that.
When I believe we misunderstood
that
was all there was. I think that we did believe there were sort of 2 tracks.
I did, yeah.
Okay. So,
was that
remember,
like you guys came
I agree.
I thought
it was 2 different things.
Yeah, now remember, the FPPC passed these regulations at a time when there were cities that were, it was typical for, if you had the San Diego Chargers, for example, in San Diego, the city council members had a box up there, and they were giving these very elaborate tickets.
Yeah,
so, and that was one example of many across the state. The FPP said, well, wait a minute, we'll allow you to do this, but you've got to, and make it a gift, but you have to go through the disclosure process. And that's really all it is.
Can we ask the ticket committee to come back with a clarifying policy and perhaps spend a little bit more time and reflection on it and whether or not it should include for-profit events or not? I mean, because if it is a for-profit event and we want to spend our money on that, I think we can, but I'm not even clear about that
yet.
Yeah,
I mean, but that's, again, a policy decision for you to make as to how you want to, what kind of policy you want.
I think that's a good idea. I would recommend that for these 5, we go through and see who wants to go and then decide whether, and then Andrea can purchase the tickets, because there are probably some that nobody wants to go. And it'll count toward the person's limit.
Well, now that we know it counts towards the person's limit, I think that going to limit how many tickets we buy, because I don't know about you guys, but I hit my limit after about a month.
Well, no, the limit started a month ago.
You go to one event for $250 and another for what?
We started it as of last month, and we only we reduced the amount because it was from that point to the end of the fiscal year.
April, May, June. So it's 4 months. $500 for 4 months.
I mean,
so it was March. So it was March, month? Effective March.
Did the district pay for it?
Well, I went to one. That I guess it was before that, so that doesn't count. But no, not that the district paid for, but that it still counts towards my limit, right?
No, only if the district pays.
Did you write out the check?
I wrote out the check.
No,
that doesn't count.
And one of them was a gift. But we are limited in how much we can get as gifts.
Right.
From the organization, or
yeah, the organization invited me.
Yeah.
Actually, to a couple. So.
Yeah. So long as you report it on your 700, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. So we're not limited if we're gifted.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to the ticket policy. The ticket policy exempts you from the gift limitations. And that's the important thing.
Okay.
Okay.
That's helpful.
I have a question. So we have to follow the Brown Act when we're attending these events? If you're buying a table of 10, can all seven of us attend?
There is an exception in the Brown Act for these kinds of events, for more than, you know, for a quorum of directors, four in this case, to attend the social events. Now,
you can't talk,
you're not
about
supposed to be talking about our business at the table, but that, you know, but there is certainly an exemption under the Brown Act for that.
Why don't you ask who wants to go to each of these events, and Andrea will get the tickets.
Okay, so who wants to go to the first event, While in the Desert?
Just to keep in mind the first two, the dates on them, April 1st and March 31st.
Yeah.
So there may be some limitations to availability of tickets at this point. So.
Well, right. For example, I was
there's
told...
There's not going to be any problem getting a ticket.
Those that wanted them earlier when we sent out the email, purchased them.
Oh, you already have purchased them.
Yes.
What we're talking about is the table.
No, this is not table. This is who wants to have an individual ticket, which will count against their...
Well, the vote has to be what's following the agenda is the table of 10. So do you want to vote on a table?
No. We're going to table this. I would suggest we table this. And Andrea just take a poll so she knows how many tickets to purchase, which is already in her policy.
I would concur with that.
Is that a motion to table?
Is that a motion?
Yeah, I move we table this item on new one through five on new business, and that instead... If people, and we'll facilitate it so Andrea, we can help Andrea do it.
Well, I don't think we need to go
through
here. We can just communicate.
Yeah,
with Andrea.
I'll second the motion to table.
Well, okay, but
can
some of these events
can we just communicate individually?
Okay.
And that's what you all do, actually. They respond and let me know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I was asked also, the Ophelia project, they said that they submitted information or a request, or anyway, they're willing to gift tickets to the district, but they haven't heard back. So I didn't get into details, so it was just a quick text this afternoon. Their event is April 12th. The CEO is Susan Frisk or something like that.
Francis.
Mm-hmm. So if you would reach back out to her, I think she's willing to gift to the district the table. And I'm not available, so I can't go.
Jeff, I just need to clarify, because it's always been the policy, for example, if the district is invited to send two representatives to a nonprofit event and gives it to the CEO, who then asks two board members to go, it does not count as a gift to the director, and it doesn't count against the limit of their tickets because the district didn't pay for it.
Well, it applies to both donated tickets and purchase tickets. There's no distinction between that.
Well, then that's...
If that's the policy we did, then I'm just telling you, we've got... That's one of the reasons we brought the ticket policy to you, and I know this is a complicated area, and I appreciate that, but it really... I think we can work through it. We'll work with the committee to help everybody understand exactly what the policy is, what it applies to, so that we don't have this confusion. But that's why it was important to establish a ticket policy. So
well, then it needs to be written in English, not legalese.
Well,
it can be communicated.
Well, I agree.
All right,
yeah.
Let's move. Can we
and
move on?
Just,
we've got a direction to staff. We've got a table to sign.
Yeah,
are we okay with
I withdraw my motion, and I just want to let the board know that I will probably exceed my limit by the end of April. So there it goes. So
we can bring the policy back.
We'll bring the policy back.
Can I make a motion that we can, that we continue this item for further discussion and we push it back towards the committee to review and clarify some of the points and make some changes to bring it back to the board?
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. No opposed? We'll carry that one. That's not a financial one, so we don't need a roll call. All right, Finance Administration, Real Estate, and Legal Committee, Mark and Chris.
Okay, so item one is just the, there's no meeting in March. So item two, there is a project at the Las Palmas Medical Plaza that requires fire sprinkler system installed on the entire project. We did about 5 years ago do the infrastructure portion for the east end of the project for the facility. And now we need to complete the rest of the that installation. So we went out to formal bid and RFP process, used Chris Mills to facilitate that. There was a an open bidding process. We have one bidder, D.W. Johnston, and the bid is the $195,197 to complete that infrastructure project. And requesting the board's approval awarding that contract to D.W. Johnston.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Yeah, I'll move it.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
And we have to have a roll call on this one. I'm sorry. Discussion.
On page 22, we are getting charged for landscape, walkways, driveways. If this has to do with the roof, can you just explain why?
I don't know what it is they've got to bring in the infrastructure from the street, so they have to go through underground.
Sorry.
So they've got to go, they've got to dig up like the driveway into the project. They've got to go underground all through the landscape area surrounding the building, and then they get to each of the buildings, and then they tap into the building to bring in risers up inside the building so that each tenant then can tap into that when they do their interior sprinkler system.
Okay.
So it's all the infrastructure that comes in from the street water.
My apologies. Any other discussion or questions?
No.
All right, I guess we go with the roll call.
So Director DeMara?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Director Resgio?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Vice President Zindel?
Yes.
And President Worthen?
Yes. All right. Next on is Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee. And Les, you're going to give us a quick report?
Yes. We had the meeting on March 21st, which was just a week ago. It seems like a long time ago. It was less than a week ago. Most of the meeting was taken up going over the inspection, the quarterly inspection. Just as a background, a year ago, we paid a firm to come in and do an inspection of the entire hospital to assess the condition of the hospital. And they identified things that needed to be upgraded or fixed, and the hospital has done those over the past year. We decided rather than doing this every year or two and doing the complete hospital, we would try to do it quarterly over a two-year period in sections. And so this last month, beginning on March 5th actually, we had the first inspection. We hired an outside inspector who is paid by us and basically is following the rules, the regulations that were the codes that have to be met. And this time they inspected Sinatra 2, 3, 4, and 5 in the finance department. And in your packet are the outcome of that. It's page 28. And those results are there. Most of those, I didn't know what an escutcheon was, now I do. But most of these are they're small things, but they are codes that have to be complied with. And what we will do next month is at the beginning of the next section that we do, we will keep a running tab of the things that were identified and make sure that those all were fixed. And then we'll do the next section. So that result is there. And if you have any questions, I'm sure Chris would be happy to answer them.
Just to clarify, it's a quarterly basis that we are doing this inspection.
Right.
And it's a different area each.
And it's quarterly over 2 years to complete the hospital.
Right, so it's like a 2 year cycle. So what yeah. was inspected this quarter, the issues will be resolved, but then that section will be inspected again 2 years from now.
One thing that came up, not in the inspection, but actually one of the attendees at the meeting brought up, and it's been noticed by many of us, that the elevators are sometimes out of order, and not just one elevator, but sometimes two and occasionally three. And we asked about this, and it was explained. One elevator, for example, was completely redone and is waiting OSHPD approval and can't be used until that's approved. Another elevator went down just a couple weeks ago when it couldn't be opened, and they had to call the fire department to open it to make sure nobody was in there. And when the fire department opened it, they broke something, and that has to be fixed now. So it is an ongoing thing, but it is something that is an inconvenience to the staff and to the visitors. And it is a safety issue, although we were reassured that the hospital has to have plans for emergency evacuation, even if all the elevators don't work. Hopefully that'll never happen, but that was the case. Did you want to add anything about the inspection?
I did. I went along on the inspection, and I wanted to add, too, that board members, this doesn't have to be a scheduled meeting. Any board member can go on a hospital inspection. It's part of our lease that we have access to the hospital at any time. And my only observation, and maybe it's just my nursing background, is that I've been on this hospital governing board for 4 years, and the first 3 years there was issues about cleanliness with the hospital. And having gone through Sinatra Tower, every floor had issues with dirty floors. And they looked dirty. The hospital said that, well, they just need to be stripped, the wax stripped, and that'll all come up. But it just doesn't give an appealing look to the hospital, and it was mentioned in your inspection results. So I just wanted to bring that up, that I'm on their case for a cleaner hospital.
Okay.
The second item.
Do you want to note in this something about the elevators? Maybe we can expand on that a little bit so that you can see in the next inspection if those elevators have been corrected.
Oh, we are.
Okay.
We are, and we'll
okay.
do that. Oh, yeah, that was brought up and will be followed okay. up on. The other thing that was discussed during the meeting was the CEO gave a report on the charity care policy and an estimate of how many dollars have been provided for indigent care for last year. And it's actually very interesting. There are sort of two levels. People that live 20%, 200% above the poverty level, that are below 200% above the poverty level, by the way, if they come in, they can have their bill completely paid for, and that's a write-off. People whose incomes are between 201 and 350% above the poverty level, they can pay sort of on a sliding scale so that their hospital bill it never rises above 10% of their annual income. So for the first group, last year, the hospital wrote off $23.8 million in write-offs. And for the second group, which is the partial write-off, $29 million. So a total of $52 million last year written off for charity care. And that was very interesting to hear, and I think we were happy to hear that. That goes on. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, thank you.
I do. She wasn't at that for me.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
With the inspection, one of the conversations that we talked about was how do we, it's our hospital, right? Like, we should be able to check off some of the things if we want to. So, as Carol was mentioning, as board members, in the second inspection that's coming up, as they're checking things off, we can and should go visit the hospital, making sure that what the inspector has on his list is completed, they will have a completed by date to report back. So the next quarter, we should see some of these, if not all of these, hopefully, checked off with a complete date on them. And yeah, just like Les said, the charity care from Tenet, $52.9 million is a lot of money coming back into or staying in people's pockets, so we appreciate that. Les suggested that that number and those efforts be put out in the community in some way where more people have access to those numbers.
Well, what I asked is I want to know if those numbers were reported anywhere. Not-for-profit hospitals have to report numbers in terms of their community benefit. And for-profit hospitals don't have to, but I wondered, can they write it off? Is it somehow reported somewhere? And I asked that, and they didn't know the answer to that, so they were going to get back to me on
it. It's written off.
It's written, yeah. And well, there's kind of standards in terms of percentages and things that you can write off as charity care without collecting, unless it becomes gift. I mean, there's all kinds of standards around it, and there's an industry average. So I don't know that that's really of the industry average.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to compare it to, and I wondered if there was something like that.
Based on gross charges, there
is a state website that tracks a lot of this stuff, and it doesn't distinguish between nonprofit and for-profit hospitals. So there may be a column in there. We can look at that and report back to you.
So I know there's issues with Medicare cost reports and things like that, and so the charity care is listed on a Medicare cost report because you can only allocate overhead a certain way. So it's all very complicated. Maybe we can have somebody come in and give us a report, but in order to allocate overhead, you have to include your charity cases and count for all that.
I have a question or concern. When someone is receiving care and then they're ready to be released, and do they know about the possibility of being able to get some financial, you know, assistance through some of these write-offs? Because I'm just wondering, how is that handled? Because I know that it can be pretty scary when you get your bill and it says $50,000. And so is it like really complicated to find out if you qualify for one of these hospitals?
My understanding is that at admission or shortly thereafter, or certainly before discharge, somebody comes in to find out a few things. First of all, do you have insurance?
Okay.
If you don't have insurance and you qualify for Medi-Cal or Obamacare, they want to make sure you get registered so that they can collect from them.
Right.
And then if you don't, then they present the information on what kinds of charity write-offs are available. That's what we were told at the meeting, right?
Yeah, there's 14 staff currently at Desert Regional that assist people with their charity care and
the Medi-Cal eligibility workers, they're kind of like CACs in the ACA days,
mm-hmm.
So that they enroll patients and determine qualifications. Some people don't want to share documentation or information. Then you go to the Compact for Uninsured plan. So there's a variety of either state programs, federal programs, and or our policy on Compact for Uninsured if there's a cash component with a discounted rate. So we exhaust every possibility to get them some type of coverage before we have to turn it into gender and charity care.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Strategic Planning Committee meeting. It's up to me to report, and there was no meeting in March. The next is the Program Committee. Carol.
Thank you. Directors Letty and Yvette met for the first time, reconstituted Program Committee. We had a good discussion. We talked a lot about volunteer members and how we were going to recruit them. We agreed that the Program Committee should be centrally located. We talked about locating it here at the Rapp Foundation on the second Tuesday of the month. We discussed scoring rubrics with the new software that we evaluate grant applications with, and wanted to make sure that our partners that we fund find it fair and equitable. We also discussed the fact that we've got a $300,000 budget to cover the entire East County, and in order to even be equitable, we need a good $4 million so that we can have comparative programs in the East Valley, and talked about perhaps finding a development consultant who might help us find matching grants for our foundation so that we could fund more programs in the East Valley. Anybody else? Betty or Yvette?
No.
Okay, that's my report.
We have an action item.
That's true, we have an action item.
I have a question on the program committee. Page 33, I guess this is for Chris. When does a fiscal year end for those 300,000 grant funding that's available for the Eastern Coachella Valley for
June 30th.
Do we, or can we get a report on how much has been spent?
Zero to date, but that's what we're working on now, starting with the program committee, is to develop, and that's part of what these listening forums have been about too, is to gain information as to what the needs that the residents perceive, and then work towards distributing the 300,000 to help meet those gaps that they've expressed. But we will have worked through the 300. We'll have committed by the end of the fiscal year, because the board has committed a new 300,000 for the next year budget, at least according to what was previously committed by the board. So we do want to commit that 300,000 this year.
Thank you.
I know that there are several organizations that have to kind of keep track of who they serve. I remember going to Alejandro, help me with that. The children that we gave some equipment to.
Variety Club.
They had given a grant wanting 7 pieces of equipment to do something for kids that had developmental disabilities. And it turned out that only 2 of them lived east of Cook. And so they had to give the money back for those. I would hope, and I understand why, I would hope over time we can morph, for lack of a better word, to a time where we no longer require organizations to keep track of where their clients live, whether it's east or west of Cook. I understand that we do want to make sure that the people that live west of Cook don't feel that all of a sudden they're losing out from before. But it would be nice if we had a plan for making it easier for the grant receivers to not have to do the busy paperwork that is that has been required over the years. That's just a comment.
Okay. I do have another question.
Okay. Please.
The programming. Page 36, the Ronald McDonald House of the Inland Empire. They are requesting funding for services that will not be in the desert, because they are getting patients that are referred by JFK, Desert Regional, and Eisenhower. So my question is, are we subsidizing work outside of the Coachella Valley that can be done in the Coachella Valley? Are we pushing our money out when we maybe should be asking these healthcare providers to either match what we're giving Ronald McDonald, asking them how much they're giving, or asking for a report to better understand what the necessity is for our money to go out of the Coachella Valley region?
Could Lisa or Donna explain?
Sure.
That
actually,
work?
The services that Ronald McDonald House offers is for those children and families in the Coachella Valley that can't get the same service here in the hospitals here, like at Loma Linda, or pediatric oncology, or other kinds of pediatric diseases or problems that they cannot get here in the Coachella Valley. So this grant is covering the cost of those Coochaw Valley families to stay at Ronald McDonald House so their children can get the services that they need at these different hospitals.
Like transplants and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's for Coachella Valley residents.
Because we can't do that here, because right. we don't want to do that
we,
here.
We don't do transplants here.
We can't.
Yeah.
It's not available.
You have to have centers
of
excellence.
An academic medical center.
Yeah.
Okay. It can't become available? It's not something we'll strive for?
You wouldn't want it to. No, really.
We can't dictate right now what tenant does with the hospital other than what's in the lease, and Eisenhower can choose whether or not to provide those services.
Nobody in the Coachella Valley provides bone marrow transplant and those kind of transplant services.
And if they did, you probably wouldn't want to go there.
Right.
Why?
Because you need a mass of numbers to have the right staff to perform those procedures. And so there's a lot of evidence that shows that having institutions with centers of excellence produce significantly better outcomes. And so if you have only a handful, maybe 10 a year, the chances of you surviving would be much less. The Institute for Healthcare Improvement has a lot of data on that.
Okay. But and they would never get approved to do them because they don't have the volume.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
It's a good question.
Oh,
it's just
very
kind
important.
Of a healthcare phenomenon that you have to. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve the grant?
Can I just state that I'm on the board of Volunteers in Medicine, so although I'm not going to leave the room, I will not be commenting on this, and I will be abstaining during the vote.
I don't think that's necessary.
It's his choice.
If you're a volunteer, you don't. It's not an issue. But whatever you feel is right.
I was told that legally I don't have to, but the way it looks, it's better if I don't.
There you go.
Isn't that right, counselor?
Yes.
All right. Do I have a motion for item number 3 under the program committee?
I make a motion to approve.
We have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. First of all, I'm going to support the thing. It's a fantastic organization, does terrific work. And noteworthy in a good way, if you look at their audit and whatever, they actually it's not the right word in a nonprofit to call it a profit, but they actually ended up with $120,000, which is coincidentally about the same we're matching, whatever. Now, that hasn't been every year in their history, but they had a great year, which means they're controlling their resources. They're doing a remarkable job. I will speak on behalf of Dr. Zendel and the work that the people that he knows and works with in the East Valley. It is a lifesaver to so many families. So. I just wanted to point that out. This seems to be, by every measure, one of the best-run nonprofits in the Coachella Valley.
I would concur with what I've heard and seen. Yeah. Kudos to last. Okay, any other discussion? Roll call.
Director DeLara?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquio?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Zendel?
Abstain.
And President Wortham?
Yes. All right, the motion's carried.
May I just say something now?
Yes.
The only reason why there was a net income for last year was that the grant was received in the middle of December for next year.
I can read a financial statement, but I thought it was interesting.
You need more money.
It was all timing.
Wouldn't that be great? All right, Board Staff Communications Policy Ad Hoc Committee, Leticia.
Okay, so this meeting was attended by Les and Yvette and myself, and there was a lot that we covered. It was a long meeting, wore us out. We started off by talking to our consultant that had made contact with all of the board members by phone, Martin Rausch. He is going to be helping the board in efforts to help us be better communicators with each other and with staff to make sure that we are being more effective and efficient in doing that. His plan is to put together an agenda utilizing all the information that he has compiled from everyone and come up with some model exercises that we'll be able to do during a future meeting. Okay. And also, we talked about the need to ensure that we are coordinating this process that we're learning or will be learning with our strategic plan. And we started kind of talking a little bit about strategic plan and then stopped ourselves to remind ourselves that that's actually another committee, but we probably want to make sure that we keep in mind how that committee's work is coming along to coordinate it as we move forward. And let's see what else.
Item number two, if you don't mind, if we switch the order, item number two for your report, and mm-hmm. I'd like to.
Okay.
Yeah, go with B before we go with A.
Okay. Okay, so the second part of the meeting was we talked about, before we actually get to the action items, just let me share with you that we did talk about AB 2329, and this has to do with director's compensation and stipends, that there's a change that we learned about. This is the first time I had heard about it. I'm going to actually ask Jeff if it's okay with him. I was going to ask you beforehand. I'm sorry you snuck in.
No problem.
But if you could kind of talk about these two issues that are coming up, the 5% increase and the number of meetings.
Last year, the legislature passed a bill that, for the first time in 40 years, allowed healthcare districts to increase the meeting compensation rules from 5 meetings to 6. Now that's not 10 like most other water districts and other special districts, but they did allow the district to do that. So in order to do it, we have to bring back a resolution and for the board to consider, and in that resolution we detail why it's appropriate for the board to expand from 5 being compensated for 5 meetings to 6 meetings. And in addition, there was a in the bill there was an allowance for a 5% annual increase in the amount of the compensation. Currently, the healthcare district boards receive $100 per meeting, and that, in contrast to other special districts, is very, very moderate. And that hasn't been increased, as I say. That $100 compensation per meeting has been there, for, to my knowledge, for at least 40 years. And during that time,
but we only implemented it a few months ago.
Huh?
But we only implemented it a few months ago.
Well, we actually, this district only implemented the compensation, $100 meeting compensation, I guess, was sometime last year. That's correct. And however, if you were a water district or other types of special districts, many of them are up to about $200 per meeting. And that's because they take advantage of the 5% increase on an annual basis. So there is a process that we could come to the board that would allow you to go up from $100 to a whopping $105 per meeting, and instead of 5 meetings, 6 meetings. But we pass a resolution increasing the number of meetings first, and then secondly, we would come back with an ordinance that would have that goes out, would be published. A public would have an opportunity to come to a public hearing, comment on the increase, and then the board can consider whether they want to raise it or not. But that process is we've been working with the committee with respect to that process.
And the committee did recommend and wanted to ask the board for consensus to direct staff. Our recommendation was that starting in the next fiscal year, we increase it to 6 meetings a month, and that we defer until 2020 a discussion about whether we increase the rate. So if that's a consensus of the board, we can direct the staff to bring back the appropriate measures for us to discuss in public next time.
The next item that we talked about.
Do we want to direct staff to do that?
Well, is there consensus? Is there any objections?
I have no objections.
No objection.
Well, we'll bring it back and then you can discuss it and consider it.
Either next month or the following month, whatever works out for you. Okay.
The last item that we talked about that's not one of the action items is that we talked about the the work that staff is doing to comply with ACHD certification, that is something that they've been working to make be more transparent and to do some updates on our media and communications. So we're really glad that that's going along well, and it's going to be done within the next couple of months.
Correct.
Yes, okay, I'm looking at Will, but he's looking down like I'm trying to avoid making eye contact. Okay, so, and also, we are also going to be moving on to the next certification from the Association of California Healthcare Special Districts. Since we are on board to do one, we thought we might as well get the second one, and that will be done also in May. Okay. So then moving on to the two action items, you want to start with B, which is consideration of changes to district bylaws and governance and oversight committee requirements. There wasn't a decision by the committee on this topic because of one of the committees that we were unsure what the board's desire would be, and that is the governance committee in relationship to the governance,
hospital governance
and oversight. Right now what the plan is after discussions by the board, and you already saw some of the changes that were made at the last meeting, but the plan had been to increase, to add volunteers to some committees and not to others, and to also add students to some of the committees. The one committee that was discussed at the last meeting was the board governance and oversight, that the hospital governance and oversight, that committee would not have any volunteers. Because of that, one of our board members, Carol, decided that she did not want to serve on the committee, I believe. Right. And so there was a question as to how that would impact our plans to have the number of people serving on one committee and not on that committee. So we want to hear from the board if you would like that to be a condition, that to be able to serve on the hospital governance and oversight, that you also serve on the committee or not. So
I want to chime in, and I'm going to recommend that, you know, as we look at all the committees that we have and all the work that surrounds each committee, that we could disband the hospital governance and oversight committee and move those duties into the finance and facilities committee, and that I feel that there's overlap, and so because the finance committee also looks at leases and real estate and all the other things that have to do with inspections, and really that's the primary function of that committee, that we could just have one less committee. It would require a change in the bylaws, but I feel as though it's kind of a redundant work and a lot of extra reporting on behalf of the hospital CEO, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So that's my recommendation. I'd like to hear other people's.
I actually agree. I think that, you know, this committee was created when we started doing stuff differently. And there is a lot of overlap, and when you're looking at leases and things like that, that fit into the Finance Administration and Facilities Committee. There's also a lot of overlap in what happens at the governing board and then gets reported to the entire board of the district, the governing board of the hospital, and gets reported to the governing board of the district. And the CEO of the hospital has to go to both and sometimes reports the same things at both. So. Although I think we'd have to think about how we want to do some changes, I don't object to that, and I think it might streamline the number of meetings, and it would be more work for the Finance Committee, but the Finance Committee could decide how it wanted to handle that. That's my opinion.
Do we have any other feedback or opinions?
Not having any experience with the workload for this committee, I don't know how this would work, but I trust that you have enough experience to know that this could be handled by the other committees, so I would be okay with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I would be happy because the finance committee will also include community volunteers.
So if I, yes?
The police provision regulates the need for hospital governance and oversight, right?
No.
But as long as you have.
No.
It's in the lease.
No, it was, that committee was just created, the committee on the board was just created a year ago. It didn't exist before. So the lease we have at the hospital doesn't mention.
I think what you're referring to is the hospital governing board, perhaps. We're talking about the internal hospital governance and oversight.
Committee. That's separate. We have two. We have a governing board appointment, and then we have a separate.
There's the oversight.
Committee.
And the lease between the district and the hospital doesn't mention this committee. It only mentions the two board members from the district that sit on the governing board. Yeah, and the reason it doesn't is because we just created this a year ago.
Yeah.
So, isn't that correct, Councilor?
I think it was a couple of years, but time flies.
So.
Yeah, and the purpose of the governance committee was to, you know, to do the site inspections and to be able to report out on any issues with respect to the condition of the hospital. Also, if there's complaints, to make sure the complaints were channeled properly and went through the right protocol.
So I'd like to file a motion to direct staff to come back with a resolution to the bylaws with a combination of duties in the finance committee that are currently in the hospital governance.
So that would be to eliminate the governance and oversight committee and transfer the responsibilities to the finance committee?
Facilities, finance, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah, we'll have to be very careful we don't call it the finance committee
yeah,
anymore because it's really finance, facilities, and administration. Right?
Yeah.
And how does the chair of the finance, facilities, administration?
The meetings just got longer. But we'll do whatever you want.
Consider you're so efficient, we've had meetings that have been 20 minutes.
And please note that the community is invited to these meetings. Yes. Right. They're not closed meetings.
They're open meetings. Right.
And there have always been open meetings.
It's the finance, administration, real estate, and legal committee.
Oh, okay.
And so since it covers the lease inspection, I think that falls within a legal purview. So that's my. So did we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
You need a roll call?
No, it's just directing them to write.
No, I'm fine.
Resolution.
I just want to check.
All right.
So the next item you have before you. What page is it?
Appointment and duties for committee policy.
48 to 70.
48. So do you have any questions about what was sent to you about the duties?
Well, my question is I have two versions. Which should I look at, Chris?
What I would recommend based on the proposal to, or the direction to disband the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee, that's going to change this policy quite substantially. So
should we table this?
You could do that. That's fine. Or we could just simply bring back an amendment to this policy in that next meeting, eliminating the governance and oversight.
Well, we just
could we take some comments though? Just
yeah.
Sure.
Or you could do
help you write it. I agree. We should table it.
Okay.
But I did want to make a couple comments. So, for example, and again, I'm looking at the old one, but sometimes it says there shall be X number of board members on the committee. I think it should say up to, because there might be some standing committee that you only need two board members and you just don't want to have more than the quorum. So I would change it to up to.
That's a good idea, because what happens if all three people don't show up?
Exactly.
I like that idea.
And then when you talk about student representatives, I think you need to be a little more definitive. So for example, are we talking about high school students? Are we talking about middle school students, elementary students? Are we talking about, and of course, if they're a student on the board, a three-year term doesn't really make sense because they're probably not going to be available for a three-year period. So I would think through, I don't object to having students on the board. I think it's a great idea.
I don't know what the custom and practice has been, but this is not a change. This was in there before.
Well, have we ever had a student on any?
Yeah. We actually did, but they're not great attendees.
So
it's a little boring. So
should we recommend that we just omit that section? And if they're if they want to be a community member, they can be a community member.
I agree.
Appoint them.
I agree.
If I can share with you, the Palm Springs Human Rights Commission actually went to the high school and said to the principal, we would like you every year to appoint a high school student to come to our committee meetings. And that was the way we did it. But so I think you should just look at that and maybe even eliminate it, but whatever.
The purpose of having a student was the fact, you know, kudos to Mark was for getting them involved in civic engagement, as well as if a student was pursuing a health career, like one of the health academies, kind of gave them an oversight of what actually a healthcare district is and hospital and things like that.
So I think
we did have a couple students.
I think it's a great idea.
They were really engaged.
Maybe we could just put 1 year appointments.
Well, you have to figure out. They may be different than the rest of the volunteers in terms of length of time and all that.
I just wanted to have that availability in case it's...
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then when you're talking about the strategic planning committee, I think one of their functions ought to be to discuss updates to the strategic plan. It talks about doing it and where we are, but also recommending when updates should be made.
And I'm going to just have a recommendation. We can talk about it at the next meeting, but I think strategic planning to have as a monthly activity is probably more than we need, so I'd like to just have that be scheduled as a quarterly or even a biannual meeting.
Yeah.
So that we can delve into it deeper and take our time and then come back with relevant information.
And then if I can just...
Yes.
When you talk about volunteer members and they can't be on the committee if they have a grant within a year or whatever, it's not only the member having a grant, it's the organization they're from having a grant. And it's not written that way. It's written as just if it's their personal grant. It's not. It's from their organization, so that needs to be clarified. And that's it.
I do have a comment on your comment about the strategic planning. I think it should be a minimum of once a quarter, and as needed, because I do think that it's not just the planning of the session itself, but to be monitoring on the progress of how you're doing, to evaluate.
Okay, so I can look at that. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
On page 72, it's in blue, which means that it's not redlined. It looks like it's an addition, and it doesn't coincide with the language in other places of the policy. It talks about the F&A strategic planning and hospital governance oversight committee shall consist of 4 to 7 members. I think that you need to figure out where that belongs and update it.
So in my version on page 72, it's got blue, but it's all lined out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine is totally different.
Well, Chris submitted an updated one. I believe this up. Well,
this doesn't have any color.
Is the one on the website the current one?
This is going to change.
We're going to eliminate that committee.
We should just table this.
I'm worried about 4 to 7 members.
It's either 4 or 7 or whatever. Just fix it. 73 on the computer. We're on 72. Okay, so that's the disconnect. Could you give the bylaws modification? Is it the bylaws or the
3/26/19 revised district package.
She's looking at the guidelines.
Okay,
you know what? It's too confusing to talk about this. We don't know. We're looking at different documents.
All right, so we're going to table that and come back to the committee and then come back next month with the revised. Because there's a bit of confusion on those things. Okay. And we really need time to review it before the board meeting. Thank you, Leticia. Any other comments or questions? So we're going to table that item, and you're going to come back with the recommendation on the bylaws based on the committee. Okay. Old business. So marketing and communications plan. I think, Will, you're going to be discussing...
Yep.
Presentation?
Put my glasses on so I can see it more. So I wanted to provide an update on the branding and the new website that was approved last year. And to let you know, basically in your staff report is the schedule. So April's going to be a very busy month for us as we are rolling out the new branding materials. And then later in the month, we're going to launch the website. And we have here today Mike Cheely with BrandTech Interactive. That's the website provider. He's going to give us a sneak peek at what we're planning and the direction that we're going. It's very different in that it's modern, it's very clean, with one of the objectives being to be very user-friendly. So Mike is here and he's going to take us through it.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me here. And this is not the website. This is breakfast. You show up tomorrow.
Looks really good. Not very helpful.
So as well indicated, we tried to make the design a lot more refreshing, a lot more contemporary. The infrastructure around it will cater more to the modern standards of web design today, which utilizes a lot more enlarged imagery. The site will be designed in what's called a responsive design, which simply means it will work on all devices. So whether you're looking at it on the conference or on your phone, it will have a similar experience, but will adjust to the screen real estate, which will also make sure that it continues to be easier to use. The focus of the site is much simpler and more graphically layered, so that somebody can quickly see an overview of what the district and foundation are about and doing. Pages that scroll down, so it starts with a large image. And this image area will actually rotate through some different slides that feature some of the partners that you guys are supporting throughout the community, using, again, some high-packed imagery, and then layered in so that if somebody says, I'd like to get to know a little bit more about what you're doing for seniors, then it leaks on through to a story, similar type thing, or an image around how or homelessness. So this will rotate through in a kind of a gradual sense, or it can be navigated through, so it will provide tools for both. We're recommending a structure that is beginning to be a pretty prominent trend, again because of the increasing use of mobile, the elimination of the tab type menu structure being in the header. So what's happening now is we're carrying through that navigation that you typically see on a mobile device into the site, which again creates a much cleaner presentation of the overall site. We are, with some organizations, labeling that, because some people might not know that those three little lines mean that there's menus under there. But we are finding from user studies that it's people are accepting it. You'll see below the fold, we chose to tell a little bit about what the district does, and recommending that we, part of the story is to highlight the impact that the district has had financially on the community over the years that it's been supporting all these various organizations, so bringing forward a more face-forward presentation of that. So you see that we didn't have an exact total, so we understand that you've given way more than $0 million, but that number has to be brought forward. Below that, we're featuring, as you may be aware, Will's been doing a lot of work around video production to feature the various organizations and partners that you guys support. So we will feature that in here. It will also utilize the kind of a rotator so that we can feature four or five or six of them on the home page, and they'll kind of sort through, but we won't clutter up the page with five or six or seven video images stacked. We have a news feed, so current information, whether it be a press release that the district has done, or a mention in an article or a TV spot or anything. So this area will present current news. And the system's designed so all of this material is dynamically driven, so that Will and his team simply post it in and say, this is when it should appear on the homepage and this is when it should disappear from the homepage. So the site maintenance becomes an easier Then finally, on the right-hand side there, you'll see a series of tiles, and this represents the efforts that we're doing around social media. So because we're utilizing different social media platforms, this is essentially an amalgamator. So it pulls it from the different platforms, which just creates a tile for each message that was used in each platform, providing a stronger design consistency and better presentation, but an ability to link through and read through that. And then finally, as we understand, there's a new requirement on the site. The district documents are readily available and easy to find, so they'll be presented in a fashion down in this area where these documents are linked to. And then when we go deeper into it, so this would be an example of a page where we're discussing an initiative that the district has undertaken. And working with Will, we kind of begin to break this into some layers that you have initiatives, and then around those initiatives you have programs that have been done and executed on and funded. So we start at that top level of an initiative, and then we layer in the projects around that, or the programs rather. Dynamically, we'll keep track of how long that program has been in place and how much has been funded. And then we'll bring forward what are each of the goals of that particular program and the ability for Will and his team to update those goals over time, so that if somebody visiting this gets a pretty quick snapshot of what the money was allocated for and whether it's been completed or still in progress. And then finally, we give credit to the organizations that were granted funds to initiate this program. And finally, if there were community partners that were involved with or assisted in the endeavor. So the other pages in the site will have a similar look and feel to this. And we feel good about the overall presentation. We worked with the branding company that put your branding together to evolve the design palette so that it will complement the other materials that are being done by that communication firm.
Since we use the one where we look for the agendas and stuff, can you show us where that is?
Sure. So it would be in possibly two areas. One, down here at the bottom. So one of these links can be the current month's agenda.
And previous ones.
And previous, sure. This can all be driven by Will in terms of how he wants to configure it. This is very configurable to decide what's up there. So it's basically saying we can link any kind of document that you want to put into this area, with the caveat you want to make it not get too cluttered with information. You'll also have within the menu an area where you can go and search for documents. We're working right now with Andrea and the document or the document systems that they're looking at, and how that's going to possibly integrate in with the historical documents as well as new documents coming forward to make search very easy. One of the requirements for this project was a very robust search tool, so that what you see was very face forward on the top. So we're designing a system so if you said May agenda, it should bring you right to a page that lists the May agenda without having to really search for it.
As long as it's easy to navigate, because we have different committees that have agendas, I actually like the way it is now, where you can see the agenda, the packet, the minutes, link to the audio. So just make sure that where we use it a lot, we have easy access.
We will be working with Andrea on, because they're researching platforms that support the whole board packet agenda methodology and minutes. And so as that gets evolved, that will be certainly a face forward feature. But we're looking at some third-party platforms to provide that service. And as that gets identified, then you'll see what that looks like. And it's certainly welcome input from those of you that have to use it on a regular basis, that in fact is easy to use.
But this sounds like it's going to be complete in 3 weeks from now?
That's the goal, yes.
We'll be complete with the majority of it. The only thing that will probably still be in work is around the document component, not from historical, and we'll certainly have an interim solution in place that at least provides the functionality comparable to what's on the website today. but we don't know what that looks like until we identify the third-party platform. So the whole thing will not be ready by the end of the month, but the majority of it, and certainly from the public view, it will appear to be a completed product.
We're working on agenda-making software. We've been contacting individual organizations. I've been sitting through demos to see their particular agenda so that our agenda could be easier to make, easier for the board to view. For instance, instead of scrolling all the way through your iPad for each and every material item, you would click on the link that's in the agenda that would open it up into a new document that would make it easier.
I think this giant picture doesn't lend well to people getting to different parts of the website, getting to know the district differently. If you go into the city of Coachella, the city of Indio, and Desert Parks Rec, their websites, they do have a very like similar image, but on the side there's some wording, there's hyperlinks, you can see their agendas. I'm on the city of Coachella's now. You can watch the council meetings, you can pay a bill, you can do a fix-it request. I'm not sure this is like useful for people of the Coachella Valley to come and get to know us or work with us, or it's just a picture. I get that it sends people to a hyperlink somewhere else, but it does really nothing else.
Well, please keep in mind that this image also, the image will change, but they also rotate. So you'll be
seeing. I get that. I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't do much for me. So that's my first comment. The second comment is I would really appreciate if the pictures were more of people. Like, this doesn't tell the story of someone, right? It tells like a very broad general depiction, and I think it also leads to stigma around homelessness in our communities. So I would like to get features on some of the people around our community, how they interact with the district. And then if you keep scrolling down towards the social media component of this, I do like that you have like those, what did you call them, blurbs, blocks?
Blocks, yeah, tiles.
Those tiles, thank you. I wouldn't put so many up there, and I would maybe just put one for every platform until we like start geolocating people in certain parts of our community with social media, right? Then we might want to consider adding more, but right now, I think the website looks really busy in some places and not busy enough in other places. So those would be my comments.
It's just interesting that you say that because the Desert Rec's website is very, very busy. It's almost too busy, actually.
Yes. So the first piece, like when you first go in there, that first piece of like pictures and you can get their agendas and things, that's really good. The rest of it, forget about that. The city of Coachella, their first, as soon as you log in, like the first pictures you see, right? This is very good. This will let people not only link to the first picture they see, but it'll let them work around. People don't, I know I don't scroll, right, all the way to the bottom of a website. Thanks, Google, right? So that's it. Those are my comments.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
I think I share some of the feedback that Karen gave, so I think we can beef it up just a little bit. Okay. All right. There's no action on that one, is there?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. Next one is consideration to approve a letter of support for AB 1095. And
okay. So the going back just a little bit. So the AB 2414, the expansion of the district passed. As a result of that, two additional board members were appointed in January, Chief and Karen. Part of the language of that legislation was that the two terms of the appointed directors would end at their 2 and 4 year respective terms. There is legislation that Assemblymember Garcia is working on to revise that language. There's a sample in your packet. And so what staff is requesting is a resolution and a letter of support from the board in support of this revised legislation that would allow the two directors to be able to run for re-election at the end of their terms.
I'd move approval of that.
Second.
Considering the fine work we did in appointing.
Yes.
And I just want to add that, you know, we could modify the letter as it goes through the various committees,
yeah.
so we send it to the chair and it's not...
Great, subject to modifications, yeah. yes.
Okay.
And at this point, they are looking to hear it on April 2nd for consideration for approval, however they do it in Sacramento.
So. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the next one is the consideration to approve resolution 1904 AB 1095, Desert Healthcare District Amendment to appoint board members term of office.
Actually, they're kind of, we have to approve them separately, but one was the letter of support, one's the resolution.
Right, so we did the letter of support.
So I'll move the resolution as well.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Legal comments?
I think I've said enough.
Okay. Informational items?
Not at all.
Director's comments, reports, and staff direction and guidance other than what we've already provided. Okay. This meeting is hereby considered for adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So.
All right. Do we have to have a motion to adjourn? You just adjourned.
You just adjourned.
All right, we're adjourned. All right, next.
Nobody's going to object.
That's a record.
Foundation. Now we have the foundation.
And we have the foundation. Let's see how fast we can move through that one. It's only a page and a half or two. All right, I now convene the foundation meeting. We don't have roll call on here. Don't we have to do roll call?
For roll call. No.
Same people. Are.
Am I on the wrong page? I'm sorry. I was on the back. Roll call.
Director DeLara.
Here.
Director Borja.
Here.
Director Perezquio.
Here.
Director Rogers.
Here.
Director Matthews.
Here.
Vice President Zindel.
Here.
And President Wortham.
Here. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Public comment. At this time, comments from the audience may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are public interest and within the subject matter jurisdiction of the foundation. The board has the policy of limiting speakers to no more than 3 minutes. The board cannot take action on items not listed on the agenda. Public input may be offered on agenda items when they come up for discussion and or action. Do I have any public comment at this time? Hearing or seeing none, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next item, consent agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, hearing none. The next item is the Foundation CEO report.
None for the Foundation, thank you.
Okay. Next, we have the Finance Administration Committee report.
There was no
meeting. Okay. Old business, CVHIPC. We're calling it CVHIP. And IEHP, Chris, you got some information for us.
The information is in the staff report there. It's moving along with the migration, etc. If you have any questions regarding anything, but things are moving forward with what we've been working on.
Any questions? All right, kudos to you guys on that work. The next one is our homelessness initiative. And I guess, Chris, you're going to discuss a proposal from Lift to Rise to establish a collaborative to end homelessness.
And I will be stepping out.
We have Letty stepping out. As previously recorded, she is on the board of the she's employed as the CEO of the fiscal agent for Lift to Rise at the current time. Okay,
so as we know, at the March 19th meeting, just a week ago, almost seems like yesterday. There was a presentation by Lift to Rise and extended discussion by the board and public regarding the homelessness initiative and surrounding the proposal or the presentation by Lift to Rise in consideration for working with Lift to Rise as a potential partner in working with the setting up the collaborative for the homelessness effort. The directors gave direction to staff to come back to this meeting with a proposal from Lift to Rise, and the proposals included in the packet, and looking at an estimated $800,000 to help support the staff funding for the collaborative under Lift to Rise. There would be the proposed plan would be to work through a grant funding process through the healthcare district, and taking just a little bit of time to make sure that this is done properly, that Lift to Rise and all parties involved are understanding completely and being very transparent in how the process is taking place with regard to staffing the collaborative, etc. So there was also, you know, discussion about, you know, contributions or partnering with other organizations, including CBAG, etc. So what we are proposing at this point is that the district board or the foundation board provide direction to staff to move forward with a grant process, a grant application, and allowing to move forward with working with Lift to Rise and developing that process. If there's any questions, discussion, we also have Heather present for any questions of Lift to Rise.
So my understanding from our meeting was that we asked for a proposal to be presented for approval for this meeting.
That's what's in. There's a proposed budget for $800,000.
Okay.
But what we need to do then is to go through, so the proposal is for that, but we need to go through a grant application process and make sure that we're doing everything according to our grant policy.
That grant application process, anyone would be allowed to apply, or it's just for Lift to Rise? What is the process here?
So
how do we get to dispersing the money?
So Lift to Rise would do an LOI through the grant process under the healthcare district side. So the plan would be to do grant funding out of our current grant budget that we have designated. We still have about $2 million of that grant budget to commit or allocate for this current fiscal year.
It could be, I mean, we're not talking about delaying this. We're talking about going through the appropriate
right.
process so that we can't be accused of not going through the appropriate process.
Right.
But you are going to fast track it so that we can get something to vote on before the end of the fiscal year so that it can count for this amount this fiscal
correct.
Year.
And we want to make sure that we're doing it properly time-wise to ensure that Lift to Rise and their internal process is they're fully comfortable with proceeding with this, you know, because it's new to them in a sense of applying for a grant through us for this specific purpose. So,
yes.
You want to say something first? Go ahead.
You first, and then I can argue with you.
Okay.
Smile, everybody. Too serious over there.
So, one, I do support this, but I have a suggestion for Lift to Rise, and that's that you stop calling it a subcommittee,
yes.
a homeless subcommittee, because I think what you need to do is call it the Homelessness CAN, Collaborative Action
mm-hmm.
Network,
mm-hmm.
so that it looks like it's basically doing what we all want it to do, and that it's not a subcommittee of a committee of another organization.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to do that anyway, but I think, for example, and I can't speak for him, but I know that City Council, Palm
Savvy
Desert
Savvy.
City Council member Jonathan was concerned that a subcommittee just makes it sound like it's kind of an afterthought. And I know it's not, but if there's some way that we could say, you know what, this is the collaborative, it's the Collaborative Action Network on Homelessness, which is going to reside in Lift to Rise and be supported not only by the district but everybody else that's working collaboratively on homelessness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, can I speak to that just really quickly? So I completely hear what you're saying, and I think in spirit it works. A place where we would have to have an internal conversation about it is, for instance, the housing, so So it's called the Housing Stability CAN because it's about all facets of housing stability. And within that CAN, there's a research agenda, there's a policy subcommittee, there's a subcommittee of folks that are working on stabilizing supports. There's a subcommittee of folks that are working on, and maybe taking out the word sub might help.
I think that would help.
Yeah, semantics here. There's a committee of folks who are hugely invested, lift drawdown, significant resource for the county here, and huge technical assistance to build out this regional plan for increasing the supply of housing. Structurally, it wouldn't make sense to create a whole other CAN because all of the CANs function like this. So if we could talk semantics here and realizing and making sure my intention, and I appreciate what Chris had to offer. I'm a really slow writer, so even getting like the 5 pages out, I think they're like coherent, but that took a while. And so we're trying to track with you guys, recognizing at the same time that this opportunity like flew up on a Tuesday and then there was a Thursday. And so we're trying to be as thoughtful as possible, and but also like thinking structurally, like what's sound here. It just wouldn't make sense to make a whole other can. But what can we do to make sure
that... I didn't suggest
that. Yeah, to make sure that there's a mutual understanding and we're all being really thoughtful about what it means to make sure that we're able to deliver for you what your intentions are and to make sure for other folks who have been engaged for a long time.
I want to make sure that the cities, the county, the press, and everybody that's been involved in homelessness knows that this is a continuation of what CBAG Homelessness Committee has done, and we are doing what the Barbara Poppy, the first step of the Barbara Poppy report, was to form the collective.
Yeah.
And how we're going to do the details, I understand.
Task force or
workforce,
I don't care, but I think sub is probably not.
Sure, yes. I'm open to working together on that.
Okay.
Now, what did you want to argue with me about?
So I think I was confused because it says we have an action item here on the proposal for the Lift Rise. So I thought we were going to have an action tonight to approve their proposal.
Well, you can't, I mean, under the law, you can't just, you know, grant this without going through the grant policy. So that's what we have to do, is go through the grant policy process. Fortunately, we have one in place.
Right.
We have one that's legally appropriate, and we're simply going to do that. Now, you know, hopefully it can get done in the next month to get all these little details worked out so it fits through the grant process.
I think but we just need to word it differently.
Here's our proposal, and we're asking.
We're approving the proposal.
I think we needed to word the agenda just different. Yeah. That's all my point is okay. That it looks here as though we're approving the proposal, that we're being asked a proposal to approve a proposal. And so if we're just being asked to direct staff to go through the approval process.
Well, and I think I worded it incorrectly too. I mean, to me, the approval,
it was,
I mean,
that's why I'm just being confused.
Come through through the foundation directors of the foundation board to approve the proposal that's presented so that we can work forward through the actual grant application process under the district.
So you are asking for approval of this proposal.
Yes. Approval of this proposal
okay.
to move forward.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. That's great.
We are.
So,
yeah, well, my concern is the same as Dr. Zandel's, that the Homeless Collaborative has a life of its own in collaboration with our Live to Rise friends, and that we approve the proposal tonight, but it's minus the funding going through the grant process. The program committee meets April 9th next time. Is
16.
Okay. The second Tuesday?
Third
Tuesday.
Program is third Tuesday.
Oh, well, thank you for reminding me. And then it'll be before the board on the 23rd.
That's the current
plan. Okay, the current plan. I just wanted to get that straight. Okay.
So there was, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because we do want to make sure with the partner we're working with Lift to Rise that they're comfortable through their internal process too, because I do think that, I mean, especially, you know, it was just a week ago that we were asked to bring a proposal from an organization that, you know, that they're trying to you know, really kind of comprehend this whole thing. They have internal processes, et cetera. And so just want to make sure that that all organizations, all parties are comfortable with the process, not, you know, pushing it out several months, but just to make sure that we're doing it properly and not putting a bunch of stress on an organization.
So I think, you know, I feel sorry for Heather here, who got drug into a meeting a couple of weeks ago and had this project handed to her on behalf of the rest of the community. And she's here tonight. Kids are doing homework. She's awesome.
Bye.
And is there support versus say, hey, just go write this properly and whatever. She's already told us, look, it took me days away from real work to write this proposal. Can we get our team in there to help and then CVAG to help? And get in a room and help craft this thing with, say, some milestones like, all right, here's how we think the spending's gonna go. And, you know, 6 months from now or quarterly or however you determine, so that we got the buy-in from the city. We have all these bright people that made those presentations, and I think we're dumping it on Heather, who's got real work to do.
And that's why we wanna go through the grant.
No, I do, but I also want to provide support. No. I think going through the grant process is a great place, is where it should be and everything. I'm not opposed to that at all. Am I right or wrong? Do you need some help?
That's right. And I have a board member, or board vice chair, Chris Kennan, here tonight from LA. We talked a lot about it. You guys will know, those of you who are familiar with Lyft, we really do, like, we take things on by the seat of our pants, and then we have a strong obligation and see them through, but we've taken on a lot of big pieces of work. And I respect what Chris had to offer about making sure that we're following our internal processes. I am fundamentally motivated by two things, leadership and resources, and it gets me really excited to think about how to leverage resources, because even in just our infancy, I can say this on the record, we left the food bank with $11,000, and you guys can see on our budget what we hold now. We massively multiplied resources by taking advantage of things that came up on Tuesday and getting them done by Thursday. The only kind of internal feedback we've had so far, the writing is one thing. The other thing is I really wanted to, in sitting down with Tom from CVAG, my thought was, okay, how do we get you guys to help us and inject, I'm really just excited that the district is interested in our work, but how do we get you guys to help inject some resource into the stability of Lyft to take on this additional piece of work? And the one thing that I was really passionate about and I expressed last time was making sure that we put money right away into capacity building and implementation. And in our internal conversations, that's really the conversation we're having, is more about, are we making sure that we're adequately resourcing this to both set up partners for success and setting up Lyft for success? And there's the volume of resources there. We just have to think about the best way to leverage this. And that's what I think I need help with this month, kind of internally, and I'm glad to have thought partners as well. Just one thing I'll offer about the timing, April 15th and 16th is Lyft's board and staff retreat and Joshua Tree. So unless someone has a helicopter to bring me down on the 16th, I will only be able to participate maybe by phone.
We can change the date.
Okay, that would be fantastic. You have a helicopter?
No.
You can find one.
Okay. It just doesn't run very well.
Okay.
So thank you, Heather. I think we understand now the process is that you're going to put it through the grant proposal process. So do we need an action item to ask you to do that, or is that just something that you can
approve the proposal, and then we will take it through the grant funding process.
All right. Great. Do I have a motion? More questions?
On page 14, we direct the staff to provide a proposal with a budget to move forward the initiative that includes Lyft to Rise and Greg Rodriguez. I don't see like the Greg Rodriguez piece, even though that was something that we received a letter for from the supervisor and CVAG themselves. I'm just putting that out there, right? What we asked for is not completely here.
So I think that I asked for clarification on that as well, and that we didn't direct that the Greg Rodriguez part be a part of Lyft to Rise. It's just
correct.
That we
just asked for a proposal, but so I didn't see that.
I agree with you, and that was going to be my next request or direction is that we need to have clarification and a proposal for how we're going to do that work and involve, engage in that. I think
through the grant process, it's been said before that people have pointed their fingers at the district for not being transparent, mm-hmm. for some kind of like nepotism or whatever, like weird ideas that are out there in the public, the way we put ourselves out there, right? So the process in this, to me, is important. that happens in the East Valley, right? Those are images that people have of nonprofits and others in the East Valley, especially the government. So just putting that out there, right? We said one thing, it's not delivered, and now we're moving forward with the motion.
Well, and if I may, what I believe was understood is that the intent of the board was to have Greg Rodriguez involved with the collaborative, however that worked, as far as, you know, like on a temporary basis, however the structure of that is, and in discussion with Heather, you know, from their internal processes needing to be transparent, and, you know, just ensuring that they're doing things properly from a transparent process, and working with whoever it is, us, CBAG, whoever, Greg will be involved in that process. But I think if I'm speaking to that correctly.
Yeah, maybe I had a conversation with Chris about this, just to say, and obviously Greg is right here, and folks in the room might know that Greg is also a board member of Lift Rise. So this was a conversation at a board level for Lift to say, I cannot write a proposal just by the way of our own internal processes work. I cannot write a proposal for grant funding to anybody and write a position into it. We post all roles, we panel them, and make like a universal decision. What we did write into it is we have great respect for Greg's leadership and the existing partnership between CBAG and the supervisor's office and the homelessness committee, and want to make sure that we're not in any way diminishing anything that came before or not taking advantage of really innovative partnership solutions. But from my perspective, the conversation I had with Chris is, how do we make this straight proposal, which doesn't negate any other possibilities down the road, but how do we just be like really transparent and clear here? Because as a collaborative work, we should be under major scrutiny for the way we hire and the way that we use our resources. So I said, like, let me keep this app about this, and then let's continue to keep these conversations and the other pieces moving, so that it's not suspect on our part or not suspect on your part. I don't know if that's clear.
Well, I think you're very clear, and what I think we feel is missing is that we need a proposal on how we can continue to engage Mr. Rodriguez in the process. So we need, somebody needs to make
the
a proposal,
county.
And that's not here.
I don't know Greg necessarily, but the county well, and the
well, that's what
office.
We said in our last communication to
right.
the district.
Greg
it's Greg. So that I want to clarify that those are two separate things.
Yes.
It was Greg and Lift to Rise, and the Greg part is not.
And I would say that part's not for us to decide.
It's
yeah,
not.
Right?
We're not asking you that.
For
yeah.
Chris.
Yeah, I actually think we need to get this away from Greg. I know he's here.
Please do.
and realize that what we're really saying is this is mainly a county responsibility. And the best way to make sure the county stays engaged in this is to have the supervisor have somebody on his staff involved in making this transition from this thing that existed in CVAG with our help to what's now going to exist in Lift to Rise with our help and with the county's help and the city's help. And it's probably Greg, but it's more the county.
Right.
And I think that we should really start referring to the county.
Okay.
Yes.
And to the point of the project managers, as we're calling this, is that position, and it's built into this proposal.
Into Lift to Rise's proposal.
Correct.
But what we're saying is that at the specific communication at the last meeting was specific to including Greg Rodriguez, and that is not part of that proposal. Even though the position is in there, we need a proposal for how that would happen if the board wants to continue with that motion that was made at the last meeting.
But I think we're also looking at, okay, for that to happen also means that the Lift to Rise, then we're imposing, if we say, okay, we're going to hire a certain individual to do that project manager position, then that kind of steps outside of the operation or the process that, that Arise has regarding, you know, their transparency and how they...
I see it as completely separate. So we have a contribution from the county to be very engaged in this work. It's very separate from the proposal and the staff that's going to support that person.
Kind of a transition.
So it may be a transition, but it's two different, sums of funds, and who's going to make a proposal, or how are we going to support that work? I think, to Les's point, that the county, to keep the county engaged. And so that work, the staff work and all the support that we would expect and the infrastructure that we would expect. But if the county wants to dedicate an individual to this work and they need to get compensated for that because of their budget issues or whatever, then we need to go through the proposal process to make sure that that can happen. So is that your understanding? And so we directed at the last meeting, we didn't say it had to be part of Lift to Rise. We just said "and" because we feel that there's a big benefit from having the county engaged. So we need a proposal for how to make that happen.
Or a recommendation.
Or a recommendation. We have to go through the grant proposal process to get that funding supported as well.
Okay. And we can work through that. We can look at it as separately, looking at funding, however that works.
CVAG and county, we don't care. Right.
And there has been some discussion regarding that, with regard to CVAG, county, and we'll be talking further with that. We'll bring that as a separate.
I mean, it seems like you and Heather and the county need to sit in the CVAG, need to sit down and say, okay, how are we going to work this so that each organization has its own whatever, and we make sure this is a smooth transition and the county stays involved.
Right.
Absolutely.
And funded for the role that they're proposing, because it was their letter, so they basically made a pitch in the letter. I think CVAG made the pitch on behalf of the county, but regardless, there was a pitch, and I think the board was open to that pitch. So we just need to know how to get that piece accounted for.
Okay.
In some kind of a proposal,
yeah,
a recommendation.
I make a motion that we approve the proposal for Lift to Rise to establish a collaborative for end homelessness.
I just have one more comment.
All right, you have a comment?
I have one more comment. In the proposal, Lift to Rise talks about a resident table.
Yeah.
In whatever is coming to us, that's one of the pieces that I'll be highly focused on. So does it include homeless people? Does it include people from the Eastern Coachella Valley? So just putting it out there, right, to make everybody's lives easier, I will be focused on that. Also on everything else, but I expect this piece for you to do your thing, right, on this piece. That's okay. Last comment.
So we have a motion.
I second it.
We have a second. Any other discussion or concerns or items? Okay, we have a roll call. Well, we're not funding it right now, are we? So is it a roll call?
No, it's just
a proposal.
No.
So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion appears to carry. All right. So the next step, and also that with that motion, also Chris, before we go on to the next, would be a direction to staff to bring back a proposal that would fulfill the rest of the motion that we met last week.
And if there's any way to work around the 16th, that would be amazing.
Yes, we'll take that into consideration.
Okay,
you got
thank
it.
You so much.
But it should be before our next board meeting, at least 3 days before,
sure.
So we can.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So the next one is that collaborative or the behavioral health initiative update. So Chris, you have a update for us on that.
Okay, so staff has been working with
thank you.
EvalCor Research and Consulting to prepare and bring a proposal based on the last in February board meeting that was directed by the board to allow us the staff to move forward with bringing this proposal before you. And we've seen, the expertise that EvalCor and experience that they have, and we do have before you the consultant services agreement, but also we have Kristen from Evalcor that is available for any questions that you may have, but it would be in the process of developing a needs assessment, working with the public, the community, with regard to the public forums, essentially developing a needs assessment with the gap areas that would be helpful to the foundation to be able to support funding or working with service providers, etc. So that's before you. Christian, do you have anything that you would like to say?
Just thank you for the opportunity to submit a proposal, and I'm just happy to answer any questions if you have any about the methodology or our expertise or other.
Okay, I'd like to file a motion to approve behavioral health consultant services. Then we have any?
I second it.
I just have a couple comments. I'd like us, not now, but I'd like us, and maybe it's the program committee's job or somebody's job, to think about how are we going to then move forward with this? It was, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago that we started talking about having a homeless consultant. And maybe we want to follow a similar track, but there are already groups of people talking about mental health around the county and around the Coachella Valley. We don't necessarily want to recreate the wheel, but on the other hand, they don't seem to be getting much traction and moving on with things. And I want us, again, not to take over mental health, but to be able to do what we did with homelessness, to be frank, which was to nudge things forward.
And that's kind of the process with this, to start with the consultant process to determine information and then suggested next steps to move forward with.
Yeah. So this one will be a little different, though, because it is more medicalized with hospitals and clinics and providers and things like that. And not that homelessness isn't, but homelessness has more to do with housing and things like that. It took us 2 years to get where we are in homelessness. I hope we can do something quicker with behavioral health, at least to get the structure set up.
It's interesting, just at the end of the Supervisor Perez's Green Ribbon Committee meeting, Gary Hans did stress, he says, we've been talking about this, but what we really need is some kind of a roadmap to identify the gaps in services and needs and where we can go next.
So they were very excited about the foundation moving forward with this piece and develop that so that it can essentially kind of establish a baseline and create some.
Yeah, I'm very supportive of this. I just want to make sure that we think ahead of what we're going to do 6 months from now, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, Karen has a comment.
Yes. I just want to follow up on this, that we've gone through three behavioral health committees with the supervisor, and so the players are in the room right now, but this is critical, and that was, everybody basically was nodding their head yes, about doing this needs assessment, gap assessment, and then basically, it's the supervisor can, we don't want to run mental health out of our office either. We don't have the capacity, but at least we agree with you, Les, is that because we're always talking about what's the next step. So make sure that we harness this and then go forward. So.
Okay. And if I can add one more thing, and I echo what Les said, that we could learn from some of the lessons from the work that we're doing on homelessness. On mental health, but I would like us to move in the direction of doing a collective impact, a community impact as well, and to look at some of the strategies that are out there. I know Lisa is familiar with the results-based framework for tracking results with data. I would like for the board, for this board to look at that as well, because it's very useful, and I know that some funders are looking at it. RAP, United Way of the Desert, Live to Rise. So I would like us to look at that as well as we approach this issue as well.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you, Karen.
One of my asks for the researcher is that you take a deep dive into children's mental and behavioral health. I know that's been one of the scariest things to learn in the last 3 months sitting on this board, from the hospital, from the county, just the number of 9, 10, 11-year-olds that just need support in our community, and the fact that we can't house them, right? I think we need a roadmap for that as well.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I would like to know.
So we have. Sorry, Heather. Didn't see you down there.
I would like to know who are you going to use to do your research, like in the community? Are you going to?
So we're going to work with the district/foundation on some of that. But in the past, when we do needs assessments that are community-based, one of the things that we try to do is involve tiers or levels of stakeholders, right? So the community would be a stakeholder group, and we would want representatives from persons who are more direct line staff that are working with community members. We would want actual community members from a diverse set of sectors, folks with lived experience in behavioral health, mental health issues, persons who may be experiencing homelessness or survived homelessness and are currently housed. We will work with folks that are representatives of parents of youth. And we don't have, I can't matrix it out for you precisely, but there's a lot of thought that's been had between myself and my team and Chris and Lisa and Donna so far. And we're going to keep adding to that to ensure. One of the things that Alcorp gets asked quite a bit when we do community-based work is, Kristen, let's not just have the usual suspects or the usual voices in the process. That's on the easier side to do, the folks that volunteer and want to be part of a collective action network. I think that's important, people who have great expertise. And we also want folks who may be more marginalized and having a voice in what's really needed or where there are gaps or how they could get their access services. So I don't know if I'm answering your question in full because it's not been fully specified, but we're being thoughtful about it.
Would you be reaching out to some of the community health workers that are in the valley that are dealing with these issues right now? Would that be something that you guys would be using?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because as community health workers, we work directly with the people and the residents, so they have a lot more information that you might not get through data. Like that.
Well, I appreciate that. And we had a long conversation about, you know, the folks that have insights at a different level from the CEO or ED of an organization, even an organization that's committed to mental health issues or homelessness, has a very different perspective than a person who's on the streets, right? Like an outreach worker. So I absolutely hear what you're saying, and we'll certainly reach out to folks who have that direct experience that's very different than mid-level, senior-level, or executive-level management of any organization.
And that kind of leads into item B there, too, that's requested to establish a behavioral health ad hoc committee for those kinds of purposes. So to have directors involved with the process, to, you know, who we're communicating with through the through this consultant effort in developing the needs assessment report, and you know, be actively involved from a director level and giving guidance, etc., so that this moves along, you know, in between regular board meetings and that. But we'll
so can we go ahead and do a approval on A, or a vote on A? We have a motion and a second. So is this a roll call item, or is this a proposal?
It is a roll call.
I don't know. So did we approve it?
We did. There was motion by.
I'm sorry. I thought we had a question on the table, so I didn't realize we had approved it.
We did. You had the motion, and it was seconded by Director Rogers.
But did we approve it?
Everyone
said aye, yes.
Oh, okay.
But this is a contract, no?
Well, we were
referring to do a roll call because it is.
Yeah, it's a contract.
It's a contract, yeah. We have to go through that process.
Director DeLara?
Yes.
Director Borja?
Yes.
Director Perezquiel?
Yes.
Director Rogers?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Zindel?
Yes.
And President Work?
Yes. Okay, thank
you. I have more questions to staff. It's okay. It's not related to it. Fiscal impact, it says $50,000 budget in the $2 million collective fund for behavioral health initiatives. This is a different $2 million from our homelessness initiative work, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
That's it.
Same concept, okay. But different
pool. Thank you. So item B, we have a recommendation from staff to form a behavioral health ad hoc committee. And I've spoken with got advice from two other directors, and so would like to hear comment and feedback on the formation of this committee.
Yvette and I both said we were interested, but we'd be happy anybody else want to.
I'm very interested.
Okay, so the first thing is, do we want to form a committee? We have to take an action on who we want to form, and then I can appoint the members.
Oh, I think it's a good idea.
I think it's important that we do form a committee.
My only concern is another committee, another ad hoc committee that has to be staffed. And I'm that's one reason I asked, what are we going to do with this consultant? And I think, and we also want to probably on this committee have other people on the committee, right? Besides
I think the
directors.
Our consultant will find us, we'll do a core group like we did before for homeless people.
So do we need to make this an ad hoc committee or an advisory committee to the consultant?
Well, I think an ad hoc committee is appropriate.
Okay.
Because the committee would be working with the entire process.
So do I have a motion for this?
You don't need, I thought we talked about, you don't need board motions to create ad hoc committees.
I just have the authority to do it. Oh, wow. I can close this one. So Carol, Yvette, and Leticia, would you like to serve as members of the Behavioral Health Ad Hoc Committee?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right, thank
and
you.
We'll
and
we'll be inviting other community members.
You'll be inviting community members to attend.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to new business. Any new business? Wonderful. Director's comments and reports. Any other comments and reports? All right, so adjourned.
Yay.
7:30, 2 hours.
Pretty good.
2 hours.
Pretty good.
2 hour meeting.